I will present you the Belgian case. In Belgium, we have three official languages, Dutch, French, and German. English is not one of them, so I apologize in advance for my English. To situate myself, I'm responsible for the House of Justice in Antwerp. We have 13 Houses of Justice in all of Flanders, the Flemish part of Belgium. And a House of Justice is, you can compare a House of Justice, it's something for the Dutch people, it's something between a House of Safety and a Probation Service. And for the others, it's a probation service. We do two big things. We have victim support and we have offender supervision. In the House of Justice in Antwerp, there are 90 people who most people of them work on the offender supervision. What is probation in Belgium? Because it already has been said that probation is a name for many practices. In Belgium, it means that someone commits a crime. Then the first actor normally is the police. The second actor normally is the prosecutor. And in Belgium, after the prosecutor, we have what not every country knows it, an investigative judge. And it's a judge who operates before there's a final sentence. In most countries, you have prosecutors, and then you have judges, and we have a judge between them. It's the investigative judge. The investigative judge can decide that a person is going to jail, to prison, before he has a definitive sentence. Or he also can judge that a person is met on supervision. We call it in Belgium suspect supervision. So it's not offender supervision because he has not already been sentenced, but it is suspect supervision. He's suspect of committing crimes. The most cases in Belgium we have until now, in House of Justice in Antwerp, we have about 30 persons who were suspect of terrorist acts or been sentenced for terrorist acts. And most of them were in the position that they were before sentenced. It means they were suspect of terrorist acts, but not sentenced yet. And I was very interested in your question about when do you use a tool to people who commit crimes or who are suspect of crimes. In Belgium, in House of Justice, we use two different tools, the Vera tool and another tool, it calls the Radix tool. And we use it on the moment that a person is suspect of committing terrorist crimes, so before he is sentenced. How do we use this tool? We get the person, we get the judges, the investigative judge gives us a mandate for someone who is a suspect of terrorist crimes. And then the first thing we do is we call ourselves assistant of justice instead of a probation officer. So what we do is we search for all the documentation we can find. And then we pay a visit to this person and to his family. So all the context, mother, brother, sisters, whoever is in contact with him. And in talking to them, we will explore all the issues that are put on into the Radix tool or in the Vera 2R. It is said before, a tool is just a tool. The thing that you need is very educated probation officers, very well formed probation officers, and that's what they are trained in. They are trained in using different tools, but they are also trained in looking at it as a tool and just as a tool. What is important, we believe, is that is after the several attacks or attempt to attacks we have had in Belgium, our world has changed very much, and it is very visible on the streets. If you visit Belgium, for example, at this moment, you still see the army on the streets. What is different also, Before the attacks, there was always a kind of confusion between Brussels and Belgium. Now everybody knows Brussels is a city and Belgium is a country. What changes do we also see? It was mentioned before. There are now in the country 800 people who were followed by the intelligence services. Now there are only 600. What does it mean? It means that we've gone from level 3 to level 2 as a security level. And it means that there are, for example, that there are now less people of army on the street. In Antwerp, you have 183 people who are followed by the intelligence services. Our world in the House of Justice changed a lot because of the attacks and because of the suspects and offenders in several ways, and I will start with legislation. Now in Belgium, a person who wants to go to an area where there is fault and where there are terrorists or terrorist acts, the fact that you want to go to there is a criminal, is a crime in Belgium. So you can be convicted just for going there. There's a big discussion at the moment. There are a lot of people who are suspects of terrorist attacks who are Belgians. They are born in Belgium. They are raised in Belgium. They know our culture, the Belgian culture, which is very diverse. But they also have a strange background, strange in the way that their grandparents are from Morocco or from Turkey or whatever. And most of the people have a double citizenship. They are and Moroccan and they are Belgian. And there's a big discussion now in Belgium. Should we say to those people, you are not anymore a Belgian citizen, which would mean that they cannot stay in the Belgian prison, but that they have to go to the Moroccan prison. Delicate issue. Another legal change, before the attacks, if you had an investigative judge, he could keep you in prison for 24 hours. Now the law has changed and he can keep you in prison for 48 hours. Big discussions in the parliament. We have also another change, the prosecutor, you have the professional secrecy. It's a kind of a taboo. A kind of holy cow, as we say it. It means you cannot touch it, or you have to have very good arguments. And now there is a law, and it says that a prosecutor, he can give you the order, you, and it means the House of Justice, but also the social services of a clinic or whatever, whoever, he can give you the order to come together. We call it round tables. And there you can change any information you want. So it's legally also a big change. Another big legal change is people can get conditions. And we have worked very well together with judges and prosecutors and with police. Now the police are our best friend. And it means that we work with them very on a daily basis. We exchange information on a daily basis. And also with the prosecutors, we are making conditions. The formulation of the conditions must be very precise. Because we have an agreement that we can only put conditions on a person if it is possible to control these conditions. If we cannot control the conditions, then we undermine ourselves, our own working area. So it was a whole exercise to see that the conditions that are put upon suspects or offenders, that they are defined. Also, another difference that we see that is that judges, when they are taking care of such issues, that their judgments are very, very well motivated. So it is like everyone accelerates who has to do with suspects or with offenders of terrorism. Always it is in all the service, it's the best people who are put on these dossiers. It's the best, it's the dossiers with the most means. And it comes to a point that you have really ethical questions about it also. But that's for later. The methodology that we use, in our vision, someone who commits a crime is someone who commits a crime. And whether it are terrorist crimes or whether it are other crimes. Why it's important, if you work in a big city, like Antwerp, for Belgians it's a big city, Antwerp, then you are used to severe crime. And it means we are used to work with people who are who use different hard methods in a drug in the drugs area. We have serious pedophiles, so we are used to work with offenders with very severe crimes. In our view, the people who commit terrorist attacks are also people who commit severe crimes, but we try to relate to them in the same way as we relate to other criminals. For example, it is often said that there is a certain that you need a certain cultural sensitivity. For me, who lives in Borgerhout in Antwerp, for the Dutch people, it's maybe known as a very, very diverse area. Cultural sensitivity means that you know that you're from a middle class in education, and that there are poor people, that there are people with a strange language, but there are also people who are disabled, that there are also people who have a different different thoughts. So cultural sensitivity is very broad, and that's the way we try to talk to them also, that it's not only the religion, no, it's not a religion only, it's not men or women only, it's not your working background only, it's very, very different things. What we think it's important is to offer the people we work with, so also the terrorists, it's offering them a perspective. It means trying to work with them towards a future for them. It's not a future for them in the way that are we able to change people's mind? I don't know. Are we able to change people's behavior? Yes, in the way that we can see that the person who didn't have an education, that he can be educated. We can see that people who didn't have work, that they can go to work. And that's the way we try to work. It means that we try to work to different areas in the hope. And hope means we are not sure that it works, but in the hope that if they are related to different areas, that they have something to lose. That's a bit the idea. If you have something to lose, it becomes more difficult to blow it up literally. We have seen in our experience that there is only one article in the law that says that someone has committed terrorist crimes, but the people are very diverse. For example, we have young people. There was also a question from someone, what do you do with juveniles? We have young people who at a certain time want to make themselves very interesting. And what do? They send text messages to one another on that says, we will make Antwerp burn and I don't know, and everything else. These people are also caught. These people are also put under surveillance. But are these the people who are the hard terrorists? Personally, I don't think so. Do we have to work with them? Of course, because the fact that they act this way means something. We have also had people who wanted to go to Syria, who were put on the borders with Turkey. They didn't commit any crimes yet, Are these the hard criminals? I don't think so, but do we have to work with them? Of course. We are also strong belief that every radical lives in a community. So what I've learned the last years is that as a probation officer, you have to be enormously creative to try to get a to try to relate with the community, the people live in. Because it was said this morning also, isn't there a big wall between this individual and the rest of society? Yes, sometimes there is, but at the same moment, they always live somewhere with family, with friends. They go to a mosque, I don't know. So it means that they always are, even if it's very on a very very small, low scale, but they are embedded somewhere. And it's our creativity to relate to this somewhere. What is also very much changed is the way we work together with other people. It has been said before, our cooperation. In Belgium, there's a law that says that every community, under supervision of the mayor, so the top level, that every community has to organize meetings on a structural basis. And who attends to these meetings? It's the probation officer, it's the police, is the prosecutor, but it's also the school, it's also the youth center, the employment agency, the housing association, the imam network, the intelligence services, and all these people sit together on one table. We call it literally round tables, and there we exchange information, and every information that we think we can use, we exchange on these round tables. We don't have a structured name for it, like MAPA, for example, but I think the idea is the same, and it is you put as many people as you need together in order to see that you can include, that you have as much network as you can, as you need to share all the information there is, and to try to make a plan together. Yeah, together, so that you can see that you do not work towards, that you work towards each other, and that you build up the same vision. Building up the same vision is important because at the beginning, for example, you have to deal with, it was said this morning also, the word signs. What is a sign? When do you know that someone is a radical, when you know that someone is not only a radical in thought anymore, but that he wants to commit a crime? How do you know that? And therefore you need as much people that you can get together to who know these people, who have kind of some kind of relation with this person. And in the beginning it was very difficult. For example, we got phones at the House of Justice from years, and we're going to blow up the House of Justice, and then you have to decide, what am I going to do with this phone call? Do I have to call now? Do I have to call the police? Do I have to call the prosecutor? Do I have to call the intelligence service? So at the beginning it was, and it still is, I think the most difficult thing is for every actor is to evaluate, what does this mean, and what do I have to do with this? For example, in the beginning, the police was very sharp in a way that when we were concerned about an individual, they would go to his house with six people and with all these matraques and I don't know, whatever. And that's too much, you know. And then it means that the person gets more frightened than he ought to be. And the person, you have a contra reaction of this person. You make it worse than it is. But giving the appropriate evaluation and the appropriate action, I think that's the most difficult thing for every actor. And therefore, it is important that you work together on a structured basis, on a regular basis. In Antwerp, we see each other every 14 days.
in the beginning it is much, but it's necessary to get to know each other and everything that has to do with professional secrecy, to trust each other and to share information, to come to this common vision and this common plan of action to an individual. I think in short terms, that's our experience.